All right, if you can go ahead and grab your cookies and coffee and make your way to your seats. So hopefully people will stick around for a little while and we can just interact with the Hamlins. So this is an opportunity for us as a church to evaluate and just get to know a couple that we are considering for becoming a part of our pastoral team. As you probably all know, Kurt and Christine Beacons have been on staff here for 3-4 years, and Kurt will be heading to, they will be heading to the mission field in August. We believe they're at about 45% support right now. They need to be at about 60-70% by March, April, and then 100% by August. So they are in the throes right now of raising financial partners, and so you could pray for them in that. We think Kurt will be done here probably the second week of April, end of March, second week of April. He's going to preach for me on April 9th, so that'll be his last time preaching here. So we're in the process of just seeing who the Lord has to bring our way to fill those shoes. And Joe and Kim Hamlin, we've been in touch with them for the last few months, and we have the opportunity just to have them here and have you get to know them a little bit and get a chance to interact with them. So why don't I start, first of all, by why don't you guys just tell us about your families, where you grew up. You told us a little bit about that in the service, but give us some more details, fill in for us a little bit more, family, where you were raised, how you were raised, and then your family right now.
As I said earlier, I was born and raised in Holland, Michigan, only about 3 miles from Lake Michigan and a couple miles from Lake Makatawa. I was not raised in a Christian family at all. My family didn't go to church ever. The only time I heard about church was when my friends would invite me to go to church once in a while. It was usually they were a Catholic church I would go to. So I had no exposure to church at all. I have an older brother who's 8 years older than me. I have an older sister. I have two older sisters and an older brother, so I'm the baby. All my family, except for my brother, lives in the Holland area. My brother lives in Minnesota, and he's a believer. He's actually the one who led me to the Lord, and he lives in Minnesota now, so I'm able to, you know, talk with him, communicate with him. Before I actually went to seminary, we owned and operated an adult foster care home where we took care of 6 developmentally disabled individuals in our home, and I also worked for hospice for a while. We really enjoyed doing that, and then we went off to seminary, so I think that's all. Did you want to?
Hi. Let's see. I was born in California, actually. And when I was 13, my family moved to Michigan, to Zeeland, in December. So we left in a tank top and shorts and arrived with 2 feet of snow, and that was kind of interesting. But let's see, we lived in Michigan since I was 13, and I met my husband when I was 16, and we've been together, well, maybe I shouldn't tell you because then you know how old I am. No. We've been together since I was 16. So we've been together about 26 years now, and we have 2 children, a grandson, a son-in-law, and my family, I have a younger brother, 7 years younger than me, and all of my family lives in California now. None of my family lives here in Michigan anymore, so except for my husband's family. So,
what are some of the hobbies you enjoy doing when you are not studying theology and in seminary and writing papers and all the fun stuff that comes along with that? What are some things you both like to do outside of that stuff?
Before I came to seminary, actually, I really enjoyed running. I ran the Riverbank Run. I enjoyed running, and I like to play the drums. I haven't played in a while, but I like to play. Let's see. The last 3 years, I've been so engulfed in study that I like to read, but I'm waiting for the day when I can read the things I really want to read besides reading things I have to read that I like, but you have to read them in like, you have to read 300 pages in like 2 days, so you can't really, really, you know, enjoy it. So, but that's what I like to do.
I would say I am kind of crafty. I enjoy sewing. I made jewelry for a while. My latest hobby is refinishing furniture and like kitchen cabinets and things like that. I just love to dig in the dirt and, you know, I'm just use my hands a lot.
Excellent. Excellent. While you were here in Allendale, you were part of Grand Valley Baptist Church. So maybe just talk a little bit about being a part of that church and your opportunities in ministry there.
Sure. When we first moved to Allendale, I was looking for a solid church, and I looked on the master's website, and I saw that one of the graduates was at Grand Valley. For some reason, I didn't see.
Yeah, I'm a little hurt about that.
Yeah, I'm sorry about
it's
that.
Okay.
But
we'll work through it.
The Lord must have closed my eyes to that for some reason. But so we started going to Grand Valley Baptist. It's a lot smaller church than this. And so we went there, and I got involved. I became the director of the Vacation Bible School. So I was able to lead the Vacation Bible School. I was involved in outreach. I'd go to the City Mission, and we'd have a few of us, two or three of us, would go to the City Mission, and I would preach, and we would fellowship and minister to the men there. I would also go to the local nursing facilities and preach there and just stick around and counsel and fellowship with the elderly people there. I was a deacon for 6 years, so I was able to see all the aspects of being a pastor, not just, when I first wanted to be a pastor, I just wanted to preach, but my pastor said, no, there's way more to it than just preaching, Joe. So I was able to see the other side of it, and my heart for ministering to the body of Christ just grew even more the more I became involved. And that's actually where we were when I applied at the Master's Seminary. And
let's see. The time that we were attending Grand Valley, I was very busy with raising our kids and taking care of our residents. So I didn't have a whole lot of free time, but I enjoyed serving the ladies, serving the people in our church in various areas. I was on the social planning committee. I saw a need for families and developed a food pantry for our church. And so we attempted to go out into the community and bring food to people, but we unfortunately just didn't have enough help. And there was only so much that my husband and I could really do ourselves. So, but we continued the food pantry, and it's still going today. We developed a food, a garden. Like I said, I like to get my hands dirty. So we got a whole lot of volunteers to help in that area. And so during the summer, the church was eating homegrown goods right from the church area. So that was kind of a neat thing. I've served in choir, Sunday school. I taught grades 4 through 6th, and I would help my husband in areas that he needed help in. So,
great. There's a lot.
That's great. Tell us your testimonies. I'd love to hear how you both came to faith in Christ, and how that happened.
Sure. Well, like I said, I was raised in a home that never went to church. And then my dad, I'll cut this fairly short, but my dad passed away in 1991 of cancer. And I joined the military. I'd gotten married and joined the military all around the same time that my dad died. And we were stationed over in Germany, Ramstein, Germany. I was in the Air Force. And while I was over there, my brother started calling me. And he had changed. There was something different about him. And he started asking me if I've ever read my Bible. And I was like, what are you talking about? No, I've never read my Bible. And I wanted to change the subject back to whatever else we used to talk about. And he kept on me about Jesus Christ and the gospel. And so I came back home on leave from Germany, and I called my brother up, and I invited him to go to the bar with me. And he showed up, but he wouldn't drink anything. He was just sharing the gospel with me. And he drove me home, the whole time sharing the gospel. And this whole time I was just getting more and more angry at him because I'd lost my dad, and now I felt like I was losing my brother, who was like I said, he was 8 years older than me. He took the place of my dad. And so I was very upset with him that he was doing this thing with the Bible and Jesus. And then I flew back to Germany, and the whole way up back, I just made up my mind that I was going to just tell him, just leave me alone. I don't want to have anything to do with you anymore. And I got back to Germany, and within 2 weeks, he called me again. And I told him that. I said, Tim, please, I don't want to hear this anymore. Just stop talking to me about this stuff. And he was silent for a moment, and then he went back into it. And but at that moment, the Lord just crushed me, and I saw my sin for what it was. I saw when he was talking to me about these sins, my heart just was heavy, and I just was broken. I said, Lord, I want what he has. So I cried out to the Lord, and I said, Lord, save me, please. I can't do this anymore. And he saved me. And I remember going to work the next day, and these guys that I worked with, I was in the military, so they were cussing. Everything they said was, you know, every other word was a bad word. And now I recognized it, and I didn't like it anymore. And so I just went home, and I started reading my Bible, and reading my Bible, learning more. And my brother sent me a book by this guy named John MacArthur called The Gospel According to Jesus. And I read that, and that put me on the right course, and I've just been, I've been saved ever since, obviously. And a couple years after that, I really felt a desire to become a pastor when my preacher at our church in North Carolina allowed me to preach one night. And the desire began there, and that was where my journey to going to seminary began. But there's a lot more to it after that. If you'd like to hear it, we can talk later. But
okay. I always get emotional, so I apologize. I can't ever tell it without choking up. Unlike Joe, I was raised in a home where we went to church. We prayed, we read our Bibles. I went to Christian school as a younger child. At age 13, I asked Jesus into my heart, and I was baptized. And then we moved here to Michigan, and we started going like from church to church. We never really found a home, never really developed relationships, and we never had a church home since we moved to Michigan, or as a child. And so, but I believed I was a Christian at the time. And we got married, and then as Joe said, you know, he got saved in Germany. And I just saw this huge change in my husband. He was a completely different person. And I started thinking, if I was saved, why didn't I have this transformation? Why didn't I have this huge change like my husband did? I never had felt that. And so for years, I struggled with that because I honestly thought that because I had asked Jesus into my heart, I was baptized, I had gone to church, you know. After we were married, we were attending church because he was saved. You know, I'm following him. But I really struggled with the fact that I had never had that transformation that my husband had. And that went on for years. I would pray to the Lord, Lord, am I saved? You know, why am I so unsure of my salvation? And then I would say about 5 years ago, 6 years ago, I was attending a Bible study through Grand Valley through some very close girlfriends of mine, and we were going over biblical womanhood, and I was really starting to get convicted. I was getting angry, and I was really starting to feel the Lord was working on me through this Bible study. And one night I went home, decided I was going to read another book, which was not something that I did often. And of all the books that I grabbed The Gospel According to Jesus. And I just remember laying in bed, reading it, and I had a little dictionary next to me because I didn't understand a lot of the words that was in it. But the Lord really started working on me through reading that book and showed me that my life was actually, I was deceived. And I had never really been saved. I had never given my life to Christ. He started revealing sins to me that I had never even considered in my life to be sinful. I had never had that true relationship with Christ. I was trusting in myself. I was relying on myself my whole life. And that is key to salvation, is you put your trust, your whole life, into Christ. And from that moment, I had that transformation. The Lord changed me. I just understood things that I had heard a million times, but I had never really gotten it. And this time I had gotten it. The Lord really opened my eyes. And so New Year's Day 2011, I think it was, I was rebaptized. And so now I can say that I am truly born again, and the Lord is my Lord. Mm-hmm. He's my Lord.
And how long in between your conversion and her conversion?
16 years. So I was, when I first was saved, I would try to, I knew she wasn't saved, and I would try to shove the Bible down her throat, and it would just push us apart. And so after struggles and struggles, I just started saying, Lord, please change her, because I would come home from a message, and I would be so excited, and I'd share it with her, and she'd be like, oh yeah, that's nice. And it just, your heart just gets crushed, because you want to have that communion with the person you're married to, and it was never there. And so,
hold your mic up.
Oh, sorry.
There you go.
So, you know, I understand what Paul says when he says, don't be yoked with an unbeliever. Because it's so hard. We were both unbelievers when we got married, but it's just, once she was saved, I was in shock. I remember the day she got baptized, I was just like, I can't believe this. It's actually happened. And soon after that, she was like, you gonna go to seminary now? So I did. So
she was the one that kind of...
Well,
I wanted to go. But she finally said, let's do this.
Well, my pastor had counseled me not to go if my wife's not even a believer, because of the struggles, and you know, I've got to minister to my wife before I can minister to anybody else. Mm-hmm. And my children. So I just prayed and I said, Lord, please. I had such a passion to go into the pastorate but I just knew if it was gonna happen, it's in His timing and His will. Mm-hmm. And she would be saved, and she was. Yeah. So
praise the Lord.
He's been wanting to go to seminary to be a pastor since he got saved. And, you know, coming from the background that I did, it was really hard for me to, you know, when you're raised that you say a prayer and your parents are telling you, you say a prayer and you're okay, you're going to go to heaven, that's hard for you to understand that when the truth is, does this make sense? I'm just rambling, I'm sorry. So I really, really struggled with that, and it's so hard for people who are raised that way to think otherwise. But my biggest thing with him going to seminary was I have always felt that I'm just not worthy. I'm not a pastor's wife material. I don't know. I just don't see myself in that position. But when I came to know the Lord told me, you know, He is going to train me. He's going to use me.
And so that took a lot of the fear from me. I know that he's in control and I'll be used however he wants me to be used.
That's right. So. Praise the Lord. Been in seminary 3 years.
I've almost been in seminary almost 3 years.
One more
seems
semester
like 30
to go.
Years.
One more semester to go.
One more semester, yes.
What have been some of the highlights, struggles, lowlights of being seminary and
okay.
how's God
yeah.
worked in that?
Some of the, you have an idea of what you're, how you're going to get to seminary, what you're going to do, how you're going to provide for your family. You have it all planned out. You're being responsible. I had a plan. I was going to go to seminary. We had saved up a bunch of money. We were going to go there. I was going to find a full-time job, and I was going to work full-time and go to seminary part-time. Well, I got to seminary in November, about 3 years ago this month, and I had tried to get a job. I had applied at all these different jobs. You know, I figured I've got a degree. I can be able to get a job, and it just wasn't happening. And the money that we had saved became less and less and less until it was almost gone. And the Lord had graciously provided an apartment for us that was like half price of what normal one-bedroom apartment in California, Los Angeles, is about $1,800 a month. And we were paying $690 a month because the guy who owned our apartment complex went to the Grace Community Church, and everybody in his apartment complex is seminary, and he gives them that price. But still, when you don't have a job, $600 a month might as well be $1,800 a month. But eventually, I was able to get a job working at the seminary as a custodian, cleaning the bathrooms, making $10 an hour for 20 hours a week. And I was doing that, and the Lord was just kept providing and kept providing for us. That money was not enough to pay the rent, let alone groceries, but people would give us money. People would drop off groceries on our front door. And then my car, our second year there, our car broke down. I mean, it was bad. The slave cylinder went out, everything. It was really bad. And so we weren't sure what we were going to do. And I got a call from this guy that goes to Grace Community Church. I'd never met him. And he just says, "So I hear you've got some problems with your car." I said, "Yeah." He goes, "Well, let me take a look at it and see what I can do." So he took the car, he towed it to his house, and he had it for about a week. And he called me up and he said, "Yeah, it's pretty bad. I've taken the engine out. I have to change the transmission, the slave cylinder, all this stuff." And I'm like, "Yeah, it's just, I'm sorry." And he's like, "And I'm going to do it all for you. I'm going to buy the parts, and I'm going to do the work, and you're not going to pay me anything." He did all the work, and then he invited us over for dinner. And as we're leaving, he gave me $100. And then every week, every 2 weeks after that, he would place $100 in the office at the seminary for me, for my family. And then eventually, he started putting money in our bank account. Every 2 weeks, $100.
I asked for this guy's name and number, but he wouldn't give it to me.
But it's just amazing how the Lord has done these things. Always, you think you're not going to have the funds. You're not, and I've received scholarships every single semester at seminary to pay for my seminary. And it's just been, it's been such an amazing thing to see the Lord working. The more you step out in faith, the more you see him work. And it's just been a blessing. I know it would have been fine if I would have worked a full-time job and been able to provide like that, but then I wouldn't have seen all these things mm-hmm. that the Lord did. So I'm just so thankful. And he's still doing things like that in both of our lives.
That's great. So as you're about 5 months, 6 months from graduation, thinking about full-time ministry, what are some things that just excite you about ministry? Where are your passions? Mm-hmm. Where are your spiritual gifts? What are some things you just look forward to and long to do in the work of the ministry?
Yeah, I have a real passion for evangelism, outreach, discipleship. I like to come alongside people and train them up, you know, the way that I was trained, and just teach them the things of Scripture and just help them come alongside them and train them up. You know, evangelism isn't just about just sharing the gospel and then not doing anything else with that person. It's about we're to make disciples of all nations, you know. So I have a passion for sharing the gospel with family members, yes, those near me, yes, but also those who we see every day. And so that's my desire, is to just be involved in evangelism and discipleship. And just, I've told Todd this and the elders, pouring myself into the body of Christ and just using my gifts to help and be encouraged by, you know, Paul says in Romans, I'm eager to see you that I may be encouraged together with you while among you, each of us by the other's faith, both yours and mine. And that's what I desire, is just to get involved with the body of Christ and be an encourager, a discipler, an evangelist, but also be encouraged by the gifts and the love of the body of Christ, too. So,
yeah. Good. You guys have any questions for them? Anything you'd like to ask? Yeah? Brenda?
Yeah, our daughter and her husband are in California right now. My son is there. He's in college right now, so he's going to college there. He didn't want to take the week off, so he's studying right now. And our daughter, as I said, you know, somebody came up to me and said, "I can't believe your grandparents." Well, we were 4 and 5 when we got married, so. But yeah, we got married and we had children right away, and so our children both love the Lord. Now they have a passion for the Lord, and but yeah, my daughter's home right now in California. Her husband Josh is working, and so they're getting acclimated to the new baby, which is amazing. But so that's where they're at.
Kim, what are your spiritual gifts?
Honestly, just my personality, I think the Lord has really gifted me in just caring for people and serving people. And I think that in different seasons of everybody's life, things will change. So I would say when I was at Grand Valley, you know, my ministry was with taking care of my residents and helping the women in various ministries. In some life right now, it's kind of crazy. There's a lot going on there, but our living situation is very unique, as in we have all seminary families in our building, and I'm the Montrose mom. I'm the oldest in the building. So I'm just, you know, I like to serve the younger ladies. They come to me and ask questions. I help. If they need babysitters, I help. In church, we're involved in fellowship group. And my husband teaches a Bible study through that fellowship group. And so we, as a team, pour ourselves into those people within that Bible study by serving them and helping them in however, whatever areas that they need help in, whether it be prayer or doing something physical. So I think to say, you know, what would I do here, it would be just I like to serve people. I love to be under the mature women so that I can grow. But I'm also there to help the younger ladies because I do have some years under my belt and have some experience. So I would love to help them. And whatever need I see, you know, the Lord, I'm just, wherever the Lord leads me is what my ministry would be. And, of course, helping my husband and my children.
If the Lord brought you here, what would be your goals for first couple of years? Maybe what would you want to just say? These are the priorities I'd want to give myself to.
I think my priority, first year at least, would be to just get to know the people and see, get to know everybody and visit and just... get to know your desires and your what you love, and pray for everybody, and see what needs you, where you want me to be, you know, what you'd need me to do, what areas you would need me the most. You know, I think the worst thing any pastor could do would be to come in, especially, you know, and just say, well, this is going to happen. You know, that's not going to happen. You're going to hit the door. You know, so I would like to come in and serve you in the things that you need, and just get to know you and see where I'm needed as well. So,
great. Maybe the most important question, Michigan or Michigan State?
Who's for Michigan? Who's for Michigan State? Here, let's see. Okay. Well, I would have to say Grand Valley because, you know, I, that's where I went, so.
That's a cop-out. So, it's good. Great.
I've never been a big sports fan.
That's okay. Well, the process for the next week or so, they're going to be here until Monday the 28th, and so they will be meeting with our elders and wives this afternoon. Joe will be teaching at our youth ministry tonight, and then we have a busy day for them on Tuesday with some staff meetings and lunch, and then they get to actually enjoy Thanksgiving with some friends on Thursday and Friday, and then next Sunday, he'll be here at church again as well, and Joe's going to teach during our equipping hour. So what are you teaching on?
Hebrews 12:1-2.
Hebrews 12:1-2, okay. So you want to be a part of that, just an opportunity to listen to him teach. And then they fly out again on Monday morning, the 28th. So this is just an opportunity for us to get to know them and take some time to do that, visit with them, introduce yourself to them, and we'll take the next week together and see what the Lord has. So let me just close in prayer, and we'll wrap it up. Lord, thanks for this time with Joe and Kim, and we thank you for bringing them here to investigate the opportunity of possibly being a part of our church. And we ask and pray, Lord, that you'll direct in the many conversations and discussions and the many interactions that we have together. We pray that you'll direct our time and that ultimately you will direct the decision as to whether this is a good fit for them and for us. So, Lord, we know and trust that you have already made this decision, and we now just lean on you for wisdom as we move forward with that. So we commit this to you. We look forward to what you're going to do. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. All right. Well, they all want to meet you, so you can go down and talk to them. And thank you for sticking around for a little while.